And it's a pleasure to be here with you again today. Hallelujah. God loves you. And that is one of our greatest mandates from the Lord, is that we walk in love towards all people in peace, patience, and kindness towards all. Hallelujah. We may not understand everyone or their positions or their ideas, but hallelujah, God knows all, and he will bring everything into judgment, and he will work it out, and we will all receive according to our works. Amen. We have been talking about spiritual battle. We have been talking about preparing ourselves for spiritual battle and standing in the face of opposition and withstanding the attacks of the wicked one. And we talked about having the armor of God and being prepared and withstanding the attacks, and we've talked about some of our offensive weapons, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we talked a little bit about Samuel, the history of Israel, of the history of God's people. And we talked about spiritual authorities and dominions in that regard. And we have to understand that God created separation from the beginning of time. He created light to shine in the darkness. And that was our first example of separation. Many times we think that it's correct to be all-inclusive and to accept everything, and we mistake having love, and we confuse love with permissiveness. And we think that permissiveness is love many times. And we know that permissiveness is not always love. Sometimes being strict or excluding things or not allowing things is love. And we have to understand that to show love does not always mean that we are to approve of things or to go along with things. Hallelujah. So God has created separation, light and darkness, good and evil, kingdoms of the world, his kingdom. And many times we think that Jesus came and he established a new covenant, and now we're not under the law, but we're under grace. And we forget that even though that is true, Jesus said himself that he came to bring a sword. Even Jesus came and shed light on this division. He talked to the woman that was caught in adultery, and all of the people around were judging the woman, and they were ready to stone her. And Jesus came in defense of that woman. He didn't come in defense of the act of adultery. He came in defense of that woman's soul. He came in the name of love. So Jesus Christ said, "Whoever among you is without sin, you cast the first stone." Everyone around knew that they all had sins also. So they decided to put their stones down and walk away. Jesus looked at the woman and he said, "Woman, where are your accusers? Where are your accusers?" And she said that they're gone. I have no accusers. And Jesus said, well, I don't accuse you either. And he said, so go on your way and sin no more. Hallelujah. He said, sin no more. He didn't say, okay, well, that's great. You committed adultery and things like that. And so, that's okay. And, don't worry about it. I ran your accusers off. So just go on and, just continue to do what you were doing. Just be like you were. And, everything is good. No, he said, go and sin no more. When the Bible teaches us that when Jesus came, he preached to the people. What did he preach? The Bible teaches us that Jesus preached repentance and the kingdom of God. In a conversation that Jesus had with a very prominent man of those times, Jesus explained to the man that you had to be born again to be able to enter into the kingdom of God, to be able to see the things of God, to be able to operate in those things. And in order to be born again, we have to repent of our sins, the ways that we have that don't please God. But if without that, then our hearts aren't prepared to receive the revelation or to come into that relationship, that personal intimate relationship with Christ, to be able to receive his word and to be able to receive that Holy Spirit and to be guided by that Holy Spirit and to see those things that aren't seen. And Christ was talking to a man that was educated and he understood things of the world and philosophies and religion and things like that. But when Jesus told him he had to be born again, he couldn't understand that because that is a kingdom concept. That concept is not of the world. That concept is of the kingdom of God. And so in order for him to understand that, his heart had to be right. He had to let go of that understanding, those ways that he was accustomed to, and be willing to come like a child and to become like open and ready to learn, humbled to God, and ready to learn and to receive and to be molded and taught that these things of the kingdom. So we are told not to lean to our own understandings, but in all our ways acknowledge God, and he will direct our paths. Hallelujah. What is the point? The point is that there is a separation. And the separation that I'm talking about divides the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of the world. I mentioned Samuel earlier. This is a picture of this division. The people of Israel were under judges. They were under judges and prophets and priests. And God, those people were open to God and had a relationship with God. Who they were, the judges, the priests, and the prophets. And they spoke to the people, and the people recognized them as anointed, called of God, set into their positions by God. And so by the people acknowledging these men and women of God and for who they were amongst them and honoring them, they were honoring God, and they were receiving a direction from God through these people. And also, it was in their hearts. And so God had set up his kingdom, his structure, his way. And the people were following that. Well, the division was is that God had told these people, he had separated them for himself from the other nations of the world, from the other kingdoms of the world. We know from the scriptures that the people of Israel, the people of God, were not like the other nations. They didn't do the things the same way. Even when they were in captivity and when they were in other nations, they had they worshiped their God and not the many gods. They worshiped the one true God, and they didn't follow along with a lot of the customs and the rules that went against what their God had commanded for them. But in this, Samuel got old, and his sons were not following in his footsteps. Time they were changing, and they started to get more worldly. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, in reference to spiritual warfare and spiritual battle and this division and all of that, is because this is what we're facing today. We have we're tempted to look at the way the world is doing things and want to do things the same way the world is doing them, but we're not called to that. We're called to be separate as people of God, and we're called to be separate, and we're called to do things differently. And even the world's kingdoms know that. That's why they say that there is a separation between church and state. That is acknowledged right from the beginning. So if there's a separation of church and state, and you look at the state and you say, oh, well, the state is passing this law or passing that law, or we're going this direction or whatever, and times are changing and this, that, and the other. And so therefore, we as people of God need to change and go in the same direction that the state is going. Well, that could be very, very wrong. We're conforming to the ways of the world when we're called to be separate, when we're called to do things in a different way. Just because the state is passing a certain law, that doesn't mean that the kingdom of God, that the people of God, should be going in that same direction too, especially if that thing is against what God has mandated for his people. If that law is making it legal in the world for people to do things that is prohibited by God's law. Amen. So we don't go and try to erase God's law and say that because the state is doing it, because the president says, or because the New York State says, then therefore we need to change the way we think. No, it's not that way. See, because God is not changing. He is the same. That's why Jesus is called the rock. He's the foundation, but he's also called the stones that the builders rejected. And when you reject the word of God, then you are rejecting Jesus Christ, because he is the word of God. You know, one of the misunderstandings that we have is that if we call something sin, that we are condemning the sinner. But that's not true. That's a twist on words. And a lot of times, this is what we deal with, is twists on words. And that puts us, if we start off from the wrong point, from a twisted understanding, then we can head off down the wrong path. So if you're trying to be loving, and someone is telling you you're not loving because you have just said that this is a sin or that's a sin, so you're condemning the sinner. No, that's not necessarily true, even though it could be. But if you have love in your heart, if you have God in your heart, then you're going to love everyone. And you're going to recognize that you need mercy and forgiveness just like everyone else, and that you're no better than anyone else. It has to do with your relationship to God and to man in the world. That is the separation. That is the difference. So, a person that is saying something is a sin may be actually showing love by saying, "Hey, you are in danger of the wrath of God," and if you see someone's walking out into traffic, you tell them, don't you? You say, "Oh, I love you, so I'm not going to, I don't want to offend you by telling you don't walk out in traffic, because you might be embarrassed that I'm telling you what to do," or something. Maybe a better analogy would be that maybe someone is doing something that's detrimental to themselves. Maybe they're making a certain decision and they don't see the full ramifications of that decision, and they're making that decision because that is what they want to do, and you know that they want to do that. Maybe they're very invested in taking this path or making that decision, and maybe a lot of eyes are on them, and you say, "Hey, that decision that you're making is going to cause a problem, not only for yourself but for other people. So you should not make that decision." And so that person will say, "Hey, maybe you don't want to say that to them because you want them to think that you love them." And you say, "Okay, well, just let them make the decision and they'll see, and hopefully it'll be all right." No, you could take another thing and say, well, another approach, and say that, "Well, I don't want this person to make that decision because they're going to harm themselves and others, so I am going to speak out, and if they misunderstand it or they get upset or whatever, I hope that they can understand that I'm doing this in love, and it's because I care about them and not hate them." Amen. Before we run out of time, I want to share 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with you. Just let me close up that thought before I go there. People do not go to hell because of their sins. People go to hell because they refuse to accept the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for their sins. Jesus Christ has died for our sins on the cross, and we can accept that, hallelujah, and find mercy and forgiveness for our sins, not so that we can go be sinners more and more and more, just like he told the woman, "Go and sin no more." That's what he's telling us, go and sin no more, and that's easier said than done. However, what's the inclination of our hearts? Do we want to practice sin and continue to sin and continue to sin? Or do we want to please God, and do we want to let him mold us and to teach us in his ways to where we can come out of that bondage of sin in those self-destructive and inconvenient ways? Hallelujah. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm not going to have time to go into this, but we have to hear the word of God, amen, and receive our blessing. So I hope you're blessed by this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Lord, bless the hearers of this word, amen. It is your word, and it is for your people, and it is a blessing to us every time we hear it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Hallelujah. You know what times it is, what time it is. You can look around and see what time the times you're living in. And you know that the Lord is coming one day. So there's no question, and no one really needs to tell you that. You've heard it before. You may believe it and you may not. I believe it, and I believe he's coming, and he's going to come like a thief in the night. Verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. Amen. But ye brethren are not in darkness, and that day should overtake you as a thief. We should know that he's coming, and we should not be surprised. We should be prepared. We should have already accepted that salvation, that mercy, what God has done for us, so that we don't have to receive that wrath. Verse 5, ye are children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. There's that separation. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Hallelujah. For they that sleep in the night, and they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Hallelujah. Protect your heart with faith. Hold on to your faith. Even in these times when it's getting so difficult, hold on to your faith and love, and keep your mind on the salvation, what God has done for you. Amen. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in other words, God doesn't want us to have to suffer judgment and condemnation if we accept Jesus Christ. Number 10, who died for us, Jesus Christ, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Amen. Hallelujah. So whether you've already passed on, or whether you're still alive, physically, we can be with Jesus Christ if we accept him. Wherefore, 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye do. So we have to comfort each other and build each other up. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Hallelujah. So there, you have to recognize who's who in the Lord. You have to recognize who is among you that is devoting their lives to the things of God, and who is bringing the word of God to you and admonishing you and calling you to the goodness of and the mercy of Jesus Christ, and reminding you that you are not of the world, and that you are children of God, children of the light, and that you don't have to walk in darkness, and to call you out of that darkness into the light. Hallelujah. So you have to know who these people are. And verse 13 says, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So appreciate the work that these people are doing, these people that have devoted themselves to the work of God, to the things of God, ministering to you and bringing the word of God to you, and reaching out to the poor and the homeless, the needy, the sick, and we should honor them for that work that they're doing, and we should be at peace among each other. Hallelujah. verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. Hallelujah. We exhort you. We're encouraging you and pushing you forward to warn the unruly. Hallelujah. Those that are out of control, that are walking on that edge, that haven't received or haven't come into that right relationship with Christ, with in their hearts and in truth and in spirit, to warn them, and to comfort the feeble-minded, those that may not understand or may not have the faculties to really fully engage in the battle, or those who are vulnerable. Hallelujah. To comfort them and to support the weak. Amen. Those that may have fought all their lives and may have put themselves forward in the work and in the battle against darkness, but they may be weak now. Support them and hold them up. Those that maybe aren't haven't come to the fullness of the revelation of what Christ has done for them or what is going on in the world, people who may not discern the times and who are just open prey for the devices of the wicked one, we should support them and be patient, because we can't force anyone to be what they're not. Hallelujah. If we have to let them be who they are and where they're at, but still we can hold up that banner of love and of righteousness and of peace and of the goodness and mercy of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 15 says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Amen. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Hallelujah. Be thankful and give praise, because God is inhabits that praise, and that praise is powerful. It will uplift and it will cast down. It will cast down the evil and the wickedness and the darkness, and it will uplift the spirit of God. Quench not that spirit, let it work. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. Hallelujah. Sometimes you may not be sure, but it doesn't look right. Amen. It doesn't look right. And if it doesn't look right, the scripture says abstain from it. You know, you may have a sin, you may have a fault, but do you have to broadcast it? Do you have to revel in it? Do you have to make everyone else accept it and live with it? Do you have to cause other people to stumble because of it? Or can you take up your cross and follow the Lord and seek deliverance from that sin and walk in a way that is pleasing and in a way that inspires other people to do their best? Hallelujah. You've been listening to Kingdom Concepts. I'm Keith Fields. Thank you so much for tuning in. I love all of you guys on iTunes and Facebooks and Podomatic. And you can reach me at kingdomministries1.verizon.com. Be blessed. Maranatha.